Good morning, everybody. A bit down, please. Let us pray. Father God, to you belong all praise, all glory. To you belong all worship. For truly you are the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and the great I am. And Lord, we welcome you in our midst today. We give you the praise, we give you the glory, and we worship and adore you today. Spirit of God, move and touch the hearts of every person. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. There is a children's song that has a line in it that goes like this. It says, "Be careful, little tongue, what you say." Does somebody here know the song? There we go. Now, it comes from a children's song, but even though we teach it to children, it's actually words that everybody should listen to and everybody should adhere to. Because you know what? The Bible has a lot to say about the tongue and about how dangerous the tongue is and what the tongue can bring into your life. So today I want to take a bit of a stroll through the Bible with you, and I want us to have a look at what the Word of God has to say about the tongue. Now, before I get any further, I want to say something here. Many times when a sermon such as this is preached, you sit and you listen to the sermon and your attitude is like, "Oh, gee, I hope George is listening." Hey, Georgie. I want you to, today, I'm not talking about somebody else, I'm talking to you. And I want you to listen, and my heart is, and my prayer is that you will listen, because the Word of God is not just for some people, the Word of God is for everyone. You know, it never ceases to amaze me. Sometimes I will preach a certain sermon and then somebody will come up to me and say, "Oh, gee, I hope so and so was listening today." And then I'm thinking to myself, "I hope you were listening." Because the fact is, you need it just as much as somebody else. And, you know, we are so quick to see the problems in somebody else's life. But many times, you know, this is why the Bible says, first remove the plank from your own eye before you see the splinter in somebody else's. The Word of God is speaking to all of us. You know, if I was to ask how many of you would like to be blessed, how many of you would like to be prosperous, how many of you would like to go forward and make something of your life, everybody would wave at me and like, "Wow, that's for me." But there's a lot of people that don't have it. And they don't have it because God doesn't want to give it. They don't have it because they're not in the right place. And sometimes the things that we allow in our life pushes us away from where God wants us to be. And then we have to hear the Word of God so that we can come in line and we can come back to where God wants us to be. Now, the Old Testament has a lot to say about avoiding gossip and evil speaking. Who could tell me, why is gossip a problem? Anybody, give me a reason. Why is gossip a problem? Well, gossip is very seldom spreading good about somebody. 99.9% of the time, gossip is you sharing bad things about somebody else, but many times you don't necessarily even know whether it's true. Because you heard it from that one, who heard it from that one, who heard it from that one, and by the time you're sharing it with somebody else, it's very far removed from the truth. But it is defiling the character of the individual that you are talking about. Now, there's somebody that watches this, and that's God. There's somebody else that watches this, and that's the devil. Because they see everything and they know everything. Whether you like it or not, it's true. Leviticus 19 verse 16 says, "You shall not go about as a talebearer amongst your people." What does that mean? What is a talebearer? It's somebody that can't wait to run to everybody. "Have you heard the latest?" You know, in some cultures we call them the post office. because they spread news quicker than the post office can. And you know, sometimes we, if we're not careful, we fall into that trap that we like to hear these things. Big problem. God doesn't like it. In fact, God hates that kind of an attitude. And it's amazing how many people sit in church every Sunday like all religious. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, in fact, Sunday afternoon when they leave the church, they can't wait to speak about somebody else's life. And they don't realize that they are simply cursing their own life in the process. You know, there's a lot of people that when you talk to them, it's like, oh, but I can't understand why my life goes nowhere, and I can't understand why I don't get opportunities, this, that. This is why. Because you bring problems into your own life. You shall not go about as a talebearer amongst your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor, for I am the Lord your God. Now listen to this. I want you to make a link here that's very important for you to make. He speaks about taking a life in the same sentence as spreading gossip. Why? Because some people's lives get destroyed by gossip. It's the same as if you took a knife and you pushed it into the heart of that individual, because your words are doing exactly the same thing to that individual. And here's what you've got to understand. Whatever repercussions there's going to be on that individual's life because of the things that you spoke and that you propagated, you will reap a harvest. It's not going to be good. If what you spread today causes big drama in that person's life tomorrow, much bigger drama is going to come for you somewhere in the future. Because we all know the Bible says what you sow, you will reap. How many people are divorced today because of what other people said? The list is endless. How many relationships are destroyed because of what some people said? Too many to mention. How many people have lost their jobs because people spoke out of turn? And many times it's not even the truth, not the whole truth. You see, the thing is, people's lives get destroyed by loose tongues all the time. But the loose tongues that destroy people's lives don't realize that they're going to pay the price for what they are doing, because God does not slumber and God does not sleep. Psalm 50 verse 16 to 20 says, but to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my laws or to take my covenant to your lips? You hate my instruction and you cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you join with him. You throw in your lot with adulterers. You use your mouth for evil and you harness your tongue for deceit. You speak continuously against your brother and slander your own mother's son. Now, but to the wicked, God says, what makes these people wicked? Let's look at it. Firstly, they don't listen when God talks to them. You hate my instruction. Just because you sit in church and you listen doesn't mean you're going to do what God is telling you to do. And I want to tell you that is a problem, because God expects us to hear. He says, but to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my laws or take my covenant to your lips? You hate my instruction and you cast my words around you, behind you. This is people that, like, they sit, they hear the word of God and they're like, oh, I hope so and so is listening. You've already switched off, because to you, you're not like that. But God is speaking to you about your life. God is speaking to you about your heart. You need to listen. And then he says, when you see a thief, you join with him. Stealing. You throw in your lot with adulterers. You use your mouth for evil. You harness your tongue for deceit. You speak continually against your brother and you slander your mother's son. There are four things, all pertaining to the tongue, that makes you evil in the sight of God. How do you know whether you're good or evil? One of the things is what comes out of your mouth. Proverbs 20 verse 19 says, he who goes about as a talebearer, in other words, running from person to person to person, spreading lies, spreading stories, spreading rumors, gossiping, slandering. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. How shocking is this? God says, if you, my child, stop associating with these people, I don't want you near them. Yet it's really the children of God that are always around these kind of people because we want to hear what's the latest saucy, juicy story about somebody's life. One thing I want you to understand today, God hates the stuff that we're talking about. And if you put yourself in a position that you are where God hates you to be, don't expect God to intervene when the pawpaw hits the fan in your life, because he's not going to. Because what comes out of our mouth destroys not only the people around us, it destroys us. It causes a cancer to grow inside of us that brings a lot of destruction. And yeah, God says, do not even associate with people such as that. You know, one thing that we all need to learn to do, we need to think before we speak. It's quick to share things. But if we thought about it, we will realize that this is going to destroy so-and-so-and-so's life. We should be quiet. You know, a lot of people's lives will go a lot better if they keep quiet. Because every time you open your mouth, you dig a pit for yourself. The other night at church, I was speaking about that scripture that says, he who digs a pit will fall into it. Sometimes with your mouth, you try and dig a pit for somebody else. Well, guess what? God says you're the one that's going to fall in it in the end. Maybe initially the other person will fall into that pit. But ultimately, you're the one that will fall into that pit. You see, the devil knows what you did. You've become a blip on his radar. He knows you, he sees you, and he'll come for you. The New Testament also has a lot to say about the tongue. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. In other words, be careful what comes out of your mouth, and if it's not good, if it's not godly, if it's not wholesome, if it's not uplifting, push it away from you. Don't allow those things to come into your life. Titus chapter 3 verse 1 to 2 says, remember them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, to be gentle, and to show humility to all men. Even in the New Testament, we are warned, stop speaking evil about people. So, why then is an uncontrolled tongue so dangerous? Well, we don't always realize that when we're speaking things, but what goes out of us has a knock-on effect. If we speak evil about somebody, we are loosing evil to start working in their lives. You know, the Bible speaks of, we have the shield of faith with which we will quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, what are these fiery darts that the enemy uses? Well, my personal opinion is most of the times it's simply the words of other people that are sent against us. And you see, the thing is, what makes it so dangerous? Sometimes you have problems in your life and you don't know why. It's like everything just goes wrong, but you're not really doing anything. You're trying to honor God, you're trying to do the right thing, but you got these fires burning in your life all the time because you got other people talking about you. Other people speaking bad and speaking evil about you. The enemy uses those words, he turns them into fiery darts and he sends them after you. And it creates a very big destructive effect upon your life. Words that are rashly spoken always have serious consequences. Now, they can have consequences for somebody else, but they can sometimes have consequences for us. You know, it's biblical for us to think before we speak. But sometimes we just don't think. We're a bit rash when we speak. Let me show you two examples in the Bible where people spoke without thinking. There was a man by the name of Jephthah. He made a very rash, quick vow with his tongue that he never thought through, that he never meditated on, that he never pondered, that he never prayed and spoke to God about. Now listen to what happened to him in the book of Judges, chapter 11, verse 30 to 40. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord. What is a vow? A vow is like a promise, but it's even more powerful than a promise. This is something you have to do. You can't back down. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord. If you give the Ammonites into my hands, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites will be the Lord's. And I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering. Then Jephthah went over to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gave them into his hands. He devastated 20 towns from Aroer to the vicinity of Minnith, as far as Abel. Thus Israelites subdued Ammon. And when Jephthah returned to his home in Mizpah, who should come out to meet him but his daughter, dancing to the sound of the tambourines? She was his only child. Except for her, he had neither son nor daughter. When he saw her, he tore his clothes and he cried, "Oh, my daughter, you have made me miserable and wretched because I have made a vow to the Lord that now I cannot break." "My father," she replied, "you have given your word to the Lord. Do to me just as you have promised. Now that the Lord has avenged you of your enemies, the Ammonites. But grant me this one request," she said. "Give me 2 months to roam the hills and to weep with my friends, because I will never marry." "You may go," he said, and he let her go for 2 months. She and the girls went into the hills and wept because she would never marry. After the 2 months, she returned to her father, and he did to her as he had vowed, and she was a virgin. From this comes the Israelite custom that each year the young women of Israel go out for 4 days to commemorate the daughter of Jephthah. Jephthah probably in a sense meant well, but he never thought through what he said. And you see, maybe this story is to show us that even if you didn't mean what you said, you also can't take back what you said. I want to ask you a question. How many of you in anger has said stuff that probably normally you wouldn't think of saying? And then you hurt somebody really badly, and it can even destroy a relationship. But later when you want to take it back, there's just no way to do it. And that's why the Bible warns us, do not be quick to make promises. Do not be quick to speak. Rather be quiet. Rather wait. Don't be in a hurry. It was because of rash speaking that King Herod ended up having John the Baptist beheaded, even though Herod never wanted to do that. We find that in the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 22 to 28. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me for anything you want, and I will give it to you." And he promised her with an oath, "Whatever you ask, I will give you up to half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" "Ah, the head of John the Baptist," she answered. At once the girl hurried to the king with this request, "I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was greatly distressed because of his oath and his dinner guests. He did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. You can see here that Herod was very sorry for what he had spoken, but he couldn't take it back. And the destruction that came into his life because of that must have been phenomenal. And that's exactly where we are. Sometimes we're very quick to say things, but we didn't think it through. And then there's a resulting knock-on effect. There's problems, problems, problems. And now we're like, "Oh, I wish I could take it back," but you can't. Rather keep quiet, say nothing. James chapter 3, verse 6 says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set amongst our members that it defiles the whole body, and it sets on fire the course of nature, and it itself is set on fire by hell. Do you know, it is a sad reality. The devil doesn't like nobody. Let's just put that out there. The Bible says the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and he wants to steal from all of us. But what makes it sad is the fact that sometimes the way in which the devil brings that destruction into even Christians' lives is through other Christians and the way they speak about each other, the way they talk about fellow brothers and sisters. Now, my friend, this should not be. We should not be the vessel through which the enemy brings destruction into a fellow brother or sister. And it doesn't even matter whether the person is a Christian or not. We should know better. Let me help you to understand something. The Word of God says, you and I, as children of God, are to be the salt of this earth, and we are to be the light. We are to be the salt, and we are to be the light. In other words, we need to bring the power of God, the blessing of God, the presence of God into people's lives. And woe unto you if that's not what you are doing. Because the Bible also says the salt, once it has lost its saltiness, what is it good for? Only one thing, to be thrown out and to be trampled. Salt gives flavor. When you speak about somebody, you should add flavor to their life, not break their life down. When you speak about somebody, and when somebody is in your presence and they listen to the things you say, they should feel good. They should be uplifted. They should be blessed. Salt preserves. Do you know that? You know, in the olden days, they did not have fridges and freezers and all of that type of stuff. The way that they preserved meat and fish was to salt it. Okay, probably their cholesterol was all through the roof, but the fact of the matter is, they used salt as a method of preservation. If I am to be salt in your life, I should preserve your life by what comes out of my mouth, not destroy your life by what comes out of my mouth. And the Bible warns us, if you lose your saltiness, I will throw you out there in the darkness where you will be trampled, because you are no longer good for nothing. My question is, how many people right now are in a place in their life where nothing is happening for them, where everything is going wrong, where you got problem upon problem upon problem, and you don't know why? Maybe you should listen why. Maybe you should listen what comes out of your mouth when you speak. And then you will realize that you are not adding flavor to people, but you are always breaking people down. You are always negative. You are always critical. You always find fault. And what is that going to bring into your life? It's going to bring problems. The end result of salt that has lost its saltiness is to be trampled. Yet the Bible says, I have given you the authority to trample on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. If your tongue is not right, if you stop bringing salt flavor into people's lives, if you simply bring destruction, the Word of God says, you will no longer trample the enemy will begin to trample on you. When we speak lies, we speak gossip, we speak slander, that type of stuff, we are hurting people. We hurt our friends, we hurt our family, we hurt our neighbors, we can hurt our son, our daughter, our mother, our father, our family members. We can hurt the church, the body of Christ. Proverbs 26 verse 20 says, where there is no wood, the fire will go out. And where there is no talebearer, strife will cease. Now listen to this. He's drawing a parallel. He says, the more wood you put on the fire, the higher the flames go, the more destructive it is. He's speaking about the stuff we say. You know, some people, the fires are burning very high in their life and they don't know why. It's like, why is everything going wrong? Well, if you could just listen to what people have to say about you, you will understand why those fires are high. And then he goes and he says, and where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. What is strife? It's pain, it's torment, it's suffering. It's when everything goes wrong. It's when you battle. How many people today are experiencing strife because of talebearers? Because of people that have to say something. You know, there's an old proverb that says, a wise man has something to say, a fool has to say something. Do you catch the difference? A wise man, when you ask him for something, he has an opinion, he gives you his opinion, that's it. A fool many times doesn't know what you're talking about, but he's got to say something because otherwise, I mean, I have to say something. We're talking about so and so, you don't even know the person, but you want to talk about the person. Watch out, because the fire that you put in that person's life is going to burn in your life tomorrow. And you're not going to know where it comes from. Because we all know sowing and reaping takes time. And many times we reap years later or months later, and then we're like, oh, but I'm doing everything right. I can't understand why I got all these problems. It's got to do with what came out of your mouth. A man who has an uncontrollable tongue brings a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, and a lot of hurt, not just on people around him or her, but also upon themselves. Listen to this. Proverbs 21 verse 23 says, whoever guards his mouth and his tongue will keep his soul from troubles. Hey, I don't know about you, but I'm allergic to troubles. I don't like problems. I don't like issues. I don't like trouble. You know me, I stick to myself. I don't get involved in rubbish. I try and live a good life, a godly life. I'm happy for you and I bless you. But it says here, whoever guards his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Where does a lot of the troubles in your life come from? Listen carefully. Whoever guards his mouth, look at your neighbor, point at his mouth and say, that mouth. Whoever guards his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. If we look at it from a different point of view, the Bible is saying a lot of people have a lot of troubles because they don't guard their mouth. A lot of people's lives are falling apart because they don't watch what comes out of their mouth. Because they always have something to say. Because they never have nothing good to say. Because they gossip, because they slander. 1 Peter 3 verse 10 says, for he who would love life and see good days. Okay, listen to that. Who of you would love to love life and see plenty good days? You really want to see plenty good days. Now listen to this. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. We love to blame other people for our problems, but sometimes we are the cause of our own problems because of what we allow to come out of our mouth. You know, good days means the favor of God, the blessing of God, life, prosperity, hope, joy. And some people don't have that. Even in the church, we have plenty of people that don't have that. Now, is that right? No, it's not right. It's not right because we're not applying the word of God correctly. You know, a lot of people expect God to automatically just be there and bless their socks off because they made a choice to go to church, to honor God, to commit their life to Christ, etc., etc. But there is also a lifestyle that has to go with it. Doesn't the Bible say faith without works is dead? You know, it's one thing to say to everybody, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. It's another thing to show them, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. And that's where the problem comes in, and that's why our churches are empty. Because we want people to serve the God that we serve, but they don't see the God that we serve in our life. Because it's one thing to say, I am a child of God. But then you live like an uncircumcised Philistine. What are you showing people? Hypocrisy comes to mind. Now, How many people are we going to manage to convert if that is what we put out there? Zero. Nobody. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. In other words, if you want to live a good life, a godly life, a blessed life, a prosperous life, stop talking rubbish. Watch what comes out of your mouth. Otherwise, nobody can pray for you to be blessed, because God has to honor his word. Now, I'm going to shock you a bit. Listen to this scripture. If we don't watch what we say, if we don't control our tongues, it makes our religion worthless. Listen to the scripture. James 1 verse 26 says, if anyone amongst you thinks he is religious, but does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, that one's religion is useless. How scary is that? If anyone amongst you thinks he is religious, in other words, if any one of you thinks that you are in a good place with God, that your life is right and blah, 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 he says, stop. If you don't watch what comes out of your mouth, whatever you think you're doing for God is useless. So the fact that you want to work at church, or the fact that you want to tithe, or the fact that you want to pray or intercede or something, it is useless. Because your tongue cancels out whatever you think you're doing for God. Now that's a scary thought. And that should open a lot of eyes. Gossip, murmuring, slander, etc., etc., is not just destructive to people. It is also destructive to the church. The scripture speaks of the kind of person who will gossip and speak evil even amongst God's own people. Titus chapter 1 verse 9 to 11 says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. For there are many insubordinate, both the talkers and the deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things that they should not for the sake of dishonest gain. In other words, he speaks of people bringing destruction to the house of God by the things that come out of their mouth. When you are not happy, how do people know you're not happy? Well, there's two ways. One is just from looking at your face. But mostly, it's what comes out of your mouth. You know, people are just like that. When they are not happy, they're going to... Everybody has to know that they're not happy and this is not good and blah. Okay, now, I want to teach you something about God. God doesn't have any time for that. In the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 24, there is a scripture. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Okay, we in the Old Testament, we're in the book of Exodus. The Israelites have left Egypt. They have come through the sea. They have entered the desert. They're on their way to the promised land. The power of God is with them. God has shown himself to be faithful through signs and wonders and miracles. God has walked with them. He has just destroyed the whole Egyptian army. And here they come and they start grumbling and complaining against Moses. Would God be happy, or would God be upset about something like that? Exodus 16 verse 2. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Aaron and Moses in the desert. Now, who put Aaron and Moses in their position? So who are they really complaining against? You see, they're going to have to learn this lesson very quickly. They are complaining and mumbling and groaning against God. And you see, God has no time for that type of nonsense. Numbers 11. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord, and when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Hey, I want to tell you something. There's a lot of people in this world that it's best you don't make them angry. I'm thinking about people like Mike Tyson and Arnold Schwarzenegger. If you this big and they that big, you don't want to upset them. Now, how big is God in comparison with you? Making him angry and attracting his anger towards you is a recipe for disaster. And I want to tell you something. If you've always got something to complain about, if you're never happy, you're going to get yourself in this place. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord, and when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Then fire from the Lord burnt amongst them and consumed some at the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. And so that place was called Taberah, because fire from the Lord had burnt amongst them. One of the things that our tongues are very good for is to complain, 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 complain. But we must be very careful, because when we complain in the hearing of God, when God hears that, and God sees that I'm blessing you, I'm looking after you, I'm taking care of you, I am your provider, I am your healer, I am your redeemer, I am your deliverer, and you still want to complain, I want to tell you something, a fire will begin to burn in your life. And you will be rebuking the devil left, right, and center for all the problems that is going on in your life right now. But there is a godly fire and a demonic fire. And when that fire comes from God, you will not stop it. It comes to teach you a lesson. God is not your chummy. He's God. You respect him. And you don't grumble and complain about what he brings or does in your life. You treat him with respect. I have heard a number of people have a temper tantrum and start shouting at God, and I'm thinking to myself, hey, you don't know what's coming for you. And it's one of those things, again, you can't take it back. On this specific day, a lot of people died because the fire of God consumed them. Numbers 14 verse 27, God speaking, he says, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel keep making against me. Now, in the New Testament, it speaks of the same account. It says, do not complain as some of them complained, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Did you hear that? Why is it in the Bible? He says, all these things happened as examples. When you always complain and you always grumble and you always mumble and you're never happy and you're not thankful for what God does in your life, you're going to have a problem. It's there as an example to us, to teach us. These people overstepped the boundary. Don't you overstep that boundary and think everything is going to be okay, because it will not. Philippians 2 verse 14 to 15 says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, amongst whom you shine as lights in this world. How do you shine in this world? When you're the one that's not complaining about everything, that's not grumbling about everything, that's not performing, that's not always throwing a tantrum. The world is already full of people doing that. God expects you to be different. Did God ever make a promise that you will never have trials and tribulations? Did God ever make a promise that there will never be storms in your life? But he did promise that he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. He promised that he will take your hand and he will lead you and guide you through. But sometimes when we get angry, we start saying things, and sometimes we even say things against God. And then we can't understand why nothing wants to work for us. Be very careful what you say. The book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 14 says, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, 'Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly amongst them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him.'" These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and their mouth, great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Again, how many of these things I just mentioned has direct correlation to what is spoken? Everybody wants to be blessed. Everybody wants to live a happy life. Everybody wants to go forward. Everybody wants to see the fruit of God in their life. And everybody can have it. But the reality is not everybody will have it. Because some people are going to take this seriously and stop talking nonsense. Stop talking about others. Stop moaning. Stop grumbling. Stop complaining. And others are just going to keep on going with the same old, same old, same old. But you can't stand before God one day and say, "But I didn't know." Because you do. Because God is talking to you through his word. And the number one reason why a lot of people, yes, even in the church, have just problems in their life, is because they have not allowed God to deal with what comes out of their mouth. If you mean business, God will help you. But I want you to understand something. God sees your heart. It's easy to say, "Oh, you know, okay, fine. I need to stop that." But God sees whether you mean what you say in your heart. And time will show whether you're sincere or not. You know, lately we've been talking a lot about curses, blessings and curses. I think you would be shocked to know how many of the curses in your life right now are there because of you, not because of other people. Because of what you allowed to come out of your mouth. And therefore, it doesn't help you expect other people to change for your life to be different. You're the one that will have to change. The Bible says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Listen carefully. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Now, thinking about it, most of us would probably think the way to bring about death is by killing somebody. It's by taking a sword and cutting their head off, or by taking a gun, walking into a place and you begin to shoot people. But, you know, probably nobody in this room will ever do that. Yet there's still a lot of people in this room that are guilty of what the Bible says here. You bring death to other people. Oh, but Riyad, how do I bring death to other people? By what you say. By the way you say it. By the stories that you spread. Life and death comes from the tongue. And then he says, and they that use it will eat its fruit. You see, what comes out of your mouth is going to go back into your system at some point in time. It's a spiritual thing. It doesn't have to make sense to you. It's real. It's more real than the chair that you're sitting on. The fact is, what you spoke about me, or spoke about him, or spoke about him, or spoke about George, or whatever, what you spoke about us today, tomorrow, the day after, some point in time, is going to come back to you. You're going to have to eat it. Why is there a lot of people in this world that have sicknesses that can't seem to be dealt with? There could be a lot of reasons, but I'll give you one option. If you spread poison with your tongue concerning people, then poison is going to come back to you. Then your own words are poisoning your system. And the doctor can run every test imaginable. He will not get to the root of the problem because the poison is spiritual. And there's only one way to deal with it. You know, if I keep giving him poison in his coffee, nothing is going to change until he starts stops drinking that coffee or realizes what the problem is and stops ingesting the poison, then we can move on to a place of healing. But if I feed him poison every day, eventually he will die. And so it is with us. What comes out of your mouth not only affects the people around you, the one more greatly affected by it is you yourself. It's like they say, me, myself, and I. Because you're going to eat that poison. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. If you are in a group of people that start talking bad about somebody, you have a choice. Most people choose to join the fun. Oh, but wait, there's more. Did you hear about this and this and this and this? Oh, and you know what? I don't agree with that and that and that and that. And you start putting fat on that fire. But where's the fire going to burn tomorrow? In your own life. Or you could choose to say, listen, yeah, I don't want to be part of this. I have no reason to speak bad about anybody. You know, didn't Jesus say to the group of Pharisees that wanted to stone the adulterous woman, fine, the one that has no sin, you caused the first stone. We like to talk bad about other people, but the fact of the matter is you got just as much dwelling in your own life. Don't say nothing about other people. Rather make it your mission in life to deal with yourself and to deal with your own heart. Then you're going to go forward. Then God can bless you. Then God can use you. Then healing will come into your life. Be very quiet about other people. Listen to me. What another person does with their life is between them and God. It's not for you to go and interfere. It's not for you to speak bad. Don't judge. Because the Bible says with the same measure that you judge, you will be judged. So today you're in a group and everybody talks bad about so-and-so. Tomorrow they're going to be in a group talking bad about you. You judge them, now you're going to be judged. How blessed can your life be? Not very blessed. In conclusion, I am more deadly than the screaming shell of a cannon. I win without killing. I tear down homes, I break hearts, I wreck lives. I travel on the wings of the wind. No innocence is strong enough to intimidate me. No purity is pure enough to daunt me. I have no regard for the truth. I have no respect for justice. No mercy for the defenseless. My victims are as numerous as the sands of the sea and often just as innocent. I never forget and I seldom forgive. My name is gossip. Did anybody learn something today? Give the Lord a big hand.